The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. Jordan Love throwing routes on air. His pass goes to Julian Hicks as they have five guys out on patterns and four quarterbacks, plus I think Sean Mannion might be making the fifth throw. As they go through some individual drill work, routes on air. Jordan Love, the ball in his right hand to start right away, as opposed to picking it up off of a stool or having it snapped to him. So we will continue to watch how long it takes before he does that, but all the other quarterbacks catching shotgun snaps.
You think he's going to be, you think that the Packers will have to design the game plan around his left thumb against the Lions?
I'm gonna choose to believe Jordan and Matt LaFleur, who both basically said, look, we wouldn't have done the surgery if we didn't think he'd be 100% healthy in time for the opener. And so then that would mean no, right? Because otherwise, if you're going to have to alter your game plan because of a surgery that you elected to do, that, again, I'm not second-guessing his decision to do that. It's his health. And having gone through what he went through last season, I cannot blame him at all for wanting to start the season, theoretically, completely healthy. And when the doctor tells you, hey, we do this surgery, you'll be 100% by the time you play on September 7th against the Detroit Lions, then I'm doing it. It's the smart thing to do. I don't have any problem with that. That said, you know, as you well know, unfortunately, from the recoveries you've had to deal with throughout your playing career, and I mean, anytime you have surgery, you know, they tell you what the game plan is and what the expected outcome is, but they also have you sign that waiver, right, before you go under. Like, of course, 99.999% of the time, it works out fine, and I'm sure that this will be one of those. But there's always the outside possibility of some sort of complication or that it doesn't quite work out exactly right. And maybe he still has soreness, right? Or maybe he doesn't have full range of motion. I don't know that. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on the radio. But the whole idea behind this was that he would be fully healed for the first game. That's why he chose to do it. He told us, or he said in Indianapolis, I should say, that he would not have done the surgery if this was during the season. He would have just played through it. So I think the hope would be that that's exactly what's going to happen here, is that he's going to be 100% and they can run their offense the same way they would have. The question that I have for you, Tausch, is with the time that he's going to miss in 11-on-11, with the time all these other wide receivers have missed in 11-on-11, Jaden Reed's still not practicing. Dontavian Wicks still isn't practicing. Savion Williams isn't practicing. I don't see him. Obviously, they're still waiting on Christian Watson, who's on PUP. He will not be ready for the opener. They've got Matthew Golden, who's gone through everything, and they've got Romeo Doubs, who returned yesterday. But I see here comes Jaden Reed right now. He's got a baseball hat turned on backwards, and he's in, you know, his jersey and shorts. I don't know when he's going to be back. To me, he's not wearing a boot. He's wearing regular shoes, so that's encouraging.
Plus, yeah.
But Tausch, my question is, when you don't, and look, I don't think this is Chicken Little-y. I think this is just a reasonable question. How exactly do you get to be where you want to be for the opener with your unscouted looks and your execution when Jordan Love's out here on with one hand and all these other wide receivers haven't practiced in quite a while? Like, I don't remember the last time we saw Dontavian Wicks out here. It's almost 3 weeks now. So how do you get an offensive rhythm like that? And how much do you have to change your game plan because of that? Not because of his thumb, but because of that.
I don't think you're going to change your game plan because of, you'll change the personnel, but you're not going to change your route combos that you like or, you know, any schemes that you like. It's, to me, the bigger question is, can you do the stuff under center that you want to do? Because shotgun, he's going to be able to do it. He'll be able to hand the football off. Josh Jacobs has proven he likes that. One of the things that I was interested in watching this off season as it's unfolded is how much more under center stuff and the play action comes from that is
right.
Matt LaFleur's offense going to do. I think that will take a hit. I think that will be limited, and we'll see, and I think you'll see it with whatever limited practice time you get or throughout the questioning of Matt is how much under center stuff can you do with Jordan? If you say he's fully ready to go, great. I'll be surprised if that is going to indeed be the case by the time you get around 2-3 weeks, whatever it is, to that opener.
So that's what I don't understand.
As far as this goes, the wide...
So my question, though, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but then the idea of you're going to want to run the ball more, you're going to want to play two tight end sets more, right? Because that's what we've talked about previously. If that's what you have to do because you don't know where your passing game with your wide receivers are, and you're going to limit how much you're able to be under center to play off play action and all the handoffs that you're going to be doing theoretically to Josh Jacobs, what is the balancing act that Matt LaFleur has to get to then there? Because that seems like a lot as you're going into, oh, by the way, two games against NFC North or NFC conference challengers that could be Super Bowl.
Yeah, welcome to the big leagues. I mean, this is what you do. You have to adjust. You have to be able to find different ways to do things within the limitations of the personnel and the injuries that you're dealing with. Normally, you have to do that week 7, week 8. You mentioned a couple, last week about the Cardinal game when you didn't have any wideouts. You got to figure it out. Like, nobody cares. They're like, oh, tough luck. Oh, no, we haven't had any of our wideouts going. Matthew Golden, you're up. Let's go. Let's figure this out. Romeo Doubs, you're up. All right, here we go. Let's go. Hey, you know what? Yeah, we do need to do more two tights. Hey, let's figure it out. We got to find ways to get Musgrave and Kraft involved. That's the reality. And, as far as under center and all that stuff goes, you're gonna push, and you're right. You hope that Jordan Love can do it. I would be surprised if he's fully. If you could really pick your spots, there's gonna be some. You're gonna take some stuff under center, but I would bet that you're gonna be more shotgun heavy in that game. And until you feel that he is 100%, because he could say he's gonna be 100%, It would be highly unlikely you're going to feel as awesome as you'd want throughout that time. And if you don't jam your thumb or something comes up, that you're going to have to adjust. You're going to want to have a plan in place that, by the way, Josh Jacobs likes, where you have all those duo runs out of gun, which they were very successful with last year. Maybe that's the adjustment you make. But that's why Matt LaFleur and his staff get paid the big bucks. You got to figure all that out. And the good news is, you have time to figure it out, and you hopefully have time to understand where Jordan's at and what his capabilities are going to be to execute the plan that you're putting in place.
What's the safest way to go? Is it to say, hey, our wide receivers haven't gotten nearly enough work. They're all coming off of various not, catastrophic injuries, but missed time injuries. We're going to run the offense the way we would anyway, and Jordan's going to throw it as much as he would throw it. Is that the better way to go, or is it, all right, we know he's got the issue with the thumb, we'll do some shotgun handoffs more often, but he's going to have to be able to hand the ball off going both directions, and we're going to put the game in Josh Jacobs' hands. What's the smarter, easier thing to do and still have a chance to go win the game in the opener against a team that you have had a hard time beating with?
Yeah, you run the football out of gun. You have your plan. You get all the plays that you get. You get all the different blocking schemes. You do some unique things. You do some pop passes. You do maybe more jet sweep stuff. You find out which receivers are. But, yeah, you're not changing how you're going to go about your business. If you think that Tucker Kraft and Musgrave are going to be better fits and that because they've been able to be healthy, maybe you're going to see more 12 personnel than you would in the past. But – I don't sense that they're at all hesitant to put Matthew Golden out there with a Romeo Doubs. And if Jaden Reed can get healthy, maybe he's going to be a little more limited. I would say if Tay Wicks doesn't get back sooner, you don't plan on having his availability in peace. But this is going to be – you decided to be more physical, and you decided to bring guys in to bring that physicality to this team. That's what you do. And you punch, like I said last week down in Cole, you punch a bully in the face. The Detroit Lions are bullies. And you can either sit back and say, oh, I don't know if we can do that. We better just go gun and spread it out and get the ball out of our hands quick. And do. That ain't what Goody designed. That ain't how they approached this offseason. And when you made the moves to bring Elton into center and you brought Banksy in, you decided you're going to be a physical football team. And now, can you be physical out of gun? Yeah, you can. Is it better to be out of under center? I think there are some very good things that you should do. Balance that out. Figure out how many snaps you can get under center, and then just go about your business. But I don't think this needs to be you have to make all these monster adjustments until you actually have to. And even though the wideouts haven't been available as much as you'd like, I don't think that needs to be the hindrance, because there are guys that have been there that can execute, and now it's just a matter of figuring out what those personnel groupings need to look like.
Last thing on this, and then you can tell us about Coors Light. I am curious, and this is going to be a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway because you blocked for this type of a play. If you're concerned about trying to limit how often he hands the ball off, you mentioned pop passes as one. What about tosses? Does it make sense to run more tosses than you normally would just to reduce the number of times he's actually taking his hand and putting the ball in the belly of his running back, or is that just dumb?
Nah, it's dumb. I mean, if you like your perimeter game, and you know if Detroit is really stout in the middle and you think you can get an edge, you do it. But you're not looking at it saying, well, I have to toss the ball, you know, because – that actually puts some extra – that puts some pressure on actually having you don't toss it with one hand. You're tossing it with two hands. You're flipping it. So that needs to be more of a schematic thing, and I feel like we have an edge. I feel like we can get on the perimeter with our run game. That needs to be more in line with other than, oh, this thumb's a little sore. We need to do that, because that's not actually easy. That's not super easy on the thumb either.
We've got some 11-on-11 starting with Malik Willis under center, under Elgton Jenkins at center. The Packers defense in their nickel group, which is Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine outside and Javon Bullard in the slot. We'll have more from practice as we roll on after Tausch tells us about Coors Light.
Yeah, whether you're tailgating pregame, you're enjoying your experience during the game, you're at a concert, wherever it might be, crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. Because you know what? It's brewed with a three-step cold process. Cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's made to chill and make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Yeah. Packers practice continues at Reinitschke Field. Just saw Eric in Green Bay and his little guy who are at practice today. Pretty good crowd. And the second to last open to the public practice.
Penultimate.
Of training camp. That is, I don't know, you know, I don't use that word a lot because I don't know if everybody knows what it means. But that is the correct usage, Jesse. Well That's done.
One of my favorite words.
They have another practice, the ultimate, I guess, final practice on Thursday with the Seahawks here. Again, Matt LaFleur saying earlier today that Jordan Love will take part on a very limited basis, so apparently 7-on-7. They are not currently doing 7-on-7. I don't know if they will later in practice, but right now they are doing team, and Malik Willis is getting all the number one snaps with the number one offense. As they go through 11-on-11 here at Reinitschke Field. But great to see Eric and his little guy. He's in our ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football Extravaganza tomorrow night at Pottawatomie Sports book. That'll be fun. Jesse, you're going to be there to draft our team, right?
I will be there, general manager, running it back.
So what does that make? That makes Tausch Ed Policy and me like Russ Ball?
No, I'm Mark Murphy in this case. I will be judging from afar as an emeritus.
You're still on the show, right?
Yeah, you're not retired.
Yeah, no, I'm on the show, but from the fantasy part of this, I'm more emeritus than I am in it, if that makes sense.
Fantasy manager emeritus is yeah. what you want to be.
Yeah, I'll be emeritus.
The fantasy old, president, yeah, CEO.
The old FME.
The old, yep.
Tausch, we've talked a lot about the offense. On defense, they... You know, the expectations are obviously high after last year. They're missing Nate Hobbs in practice. They're missing Xavier McKinney in practice. They've got Ketan Oladapo as the other safety alongside Evan Williams when Javon Bullard goes into the slot. We've spent a lot of time talking about injured wide receivers and the offensive line and the left tackle competition and Jordan Love's thumb. Where's your confidence level in this defense as we stand currently?
Strong. I think it's going to be better. I think we'll, you know, whether or not you'll see the same amount of turnovers, I mean, that is something they've been emphasizing. So hopefully you see the returns on that investment. But I just think there's you're getting more athletic. I think Edgerrin Cooper, if he is any bit as good as we all anticipate him being, that is such a difference maker for everybody else. And if Kenny Clark's healthy, if Lucas, I mean, these are all if. But that's where we're at. And if you see that improvement and you feel like that stuff gets done, the confidence in Jeff Hafley's system and that there's another year of it, all of a sudden everything else feels like it should be trending in a positive way. So I just think there's so much talent and the ability to be a difference-making defense, I think, is there. You saw it a little bit with some of the – when the ones were out there in that scrimmage. Hopefully you see it again, and all of a sudden you're going to see your big test against the Detroit Lions, whether or not you can hold up and how you go about your business. But there are some question marks. But the whole concept, well, you don't have Jair Alexander. You didn't have him last year.
neither do the Ravens.
Yeah, that always buyer beware. Beware. Bring your own bewareness when you sign someone that has been unable to play consistently. I think Baltimore's finding that out. Green Bay, I think we can say, thought at the time, made the right decision to move forward. Now, whether or not the right pieces are in place to replace – we'll find that out, and we'll find that out relatively early with the challenges that these opposing offenses are going to place on Jeff Hafley's defense in those first 5 days of the season up at Lambeau.
The twos are on the field now on offense and defense, and two observations. One, on defense, Isaiah Simmons, Christian Welch. You know, I thought Isaiah Simmons, there was a lot of buzz about him.
You were the beekeeper on that buzz.
Well, in fairness, Josh Jacobs called him a unicorn, and there was a lot of conversation about how they were creating a role for him on defense.
Unicorns aren't real.
Stop it.
Well, they're not. Unicorns aren't real.
We like unicorns.
But they're not real. We know that.
So we're waiting to see the player that was advertised because I think he's had a pretty tough go.
Is he going to make the team?
It would be based on potential and the belief that he, at a veteran minimum salary, can eventually, once he gets the hang of their defense, be a contributor. He was certainly advertised as being that. I have not seen that occur, so I don't know. I'm skeptical. And then the other person I'm skeptical about, and this is, you know, again, after watching Taylor Elgersma take the two reps with Malik Willis taking the one reps. Sean Clifford's chances.
Either. Stop whispering.
Well, I've tried Jason's on the field. I'm trying not to be too loud.
Well, it's better than the baby voice. We can agree on that. But again, Tausch, like I try not to, you know.
If they're
going to
do that, don't you? You just especially when you're talking, you're going to keep four tight ends. You got all these receivers.
Yeah, they're keeping two quarterbacks on the 53.
Just two.
It's what they did last year,
and it won't be Elgar. Elgersma's going to be, even if Jordan's thumb, Elgersma's going to be your practice squad guy, right?
So the only question I have, and that was, it's again like you read my mind with the Jordan Love. It's going to be 100%. That's the expectation. Nothing to worry about. At the same time, is there a little bit of a, maybe for the first week or two, we need a third quarterback on the 53, or we need a third quarterback that we're going to bring up from the practice squad on game day as kind of a extra layer of protection, if you will, given Jordan's situation? Because look, Taylor Elgersma, they love his arm strength. They love the throw that the quality, not the decision, of the throw he made on Chipotle Ben's touchdown catch. That I still can't believe Matt LaFleur said we should have not thrown that ball. We can't throw that pass. We just can't throw that pass, even though it was a touchdown. He is definitely not ready to play in an NFL game that counts. And you've got Malik Willis as your backup for a reason. You feel really good about him. The idea, though, of Sean Clifford, at least he has NFL experience as opposed to the Canadian import. I don't know how that complicates matters. I'm not entirely sure. By the way, quick update. I do see that Dontavian Wicks has his helmet. He's not in pads, so he's not practicing, but that usually is a sign that he is doing stuff with the training staff with his helmet on, which means that there is progress there with his calf injury. So that would be an encouraging sign at the wide receiver position that we haven't really had many of those encouraging signs.
Boy, tell you what, if you're I think Green Bay has to really, if they're out on Sean Clifford, which you didn't say that.
I did not.
There's some implication, and I think valid. This is a spot, and I think Green Bay needs to look long and hard at the waiver wire, because you probably need to start looking for next year's backup quarterback.
Right.
And
Malik Willis is a free agent after this year.
This is that time of the year that quarterbacks get teams will try and sneak quarterbacks on their practice squad. If there's somebody that you have your eye on that maybe gives you a twinkle, then you maybe will have to go grab that player and bring them in, especially if it's, you know, at this time of the year, you might have to keep three quarterbacks, and then that has a trickle-down effect that maybe somebody else has to go. But you have to be very cognizant, because can you imagine this scenario this year if it's Elgersma that is sitting there taking reps, or Sean Clifford? You're going to be in the same spot you were last year, and you luckily went bold and went and grabbed Malik Willis, and it's worked out, and now nobody is sweating. Even if Jordan Love is, you feel like we can win football games. Nobody's worried about playing the Seahawks in the preseason, and you think, well, this is actually good because Malik Willis can get it done. That will more than likely not be the case next season, so that's just another little layer of this whole what you do decision-wise at the quarterback this year.
7-on-7 is underway, and we've brought out tackling dummies to serve as the linemen now. And we've also done away with the stool. So Jordan is just starting with the ball and throwing. This is during a non-shooting period, though, so I can't send you a quality video of the tackling dummies that are standing in the way, trying to at least create the illusion of a pass
rush. I always
like
when they have the GAs and with the tennis rackets. They're running and throwing the tennis rackets up.
The brooms are my favorite.
You like brooms over the tennis racket, too?
The tennis rackets are fun, but the brooms are ridiculous.
Okay.
Well, we have neither of those. We just have tackling dummies, and they are going through 7-on-7. Jordan Love getting all the reps in this as well, which, again, makes sense because Matt LaFleur doesn't even want to do this drill, but he's only doing it to benefit Jordan Love to get him that work. All right, we'll continue from practice. Jesse wanted, I don't want to quote you incorrectly here, Jesse, but you wanted to do Woe Nelly even though you weren't on the show yesterday?
The intention was we would do a little cross promotion of the Barry Alvarez show until we ran into some of our weather related issues getting situated. But yeah, I was hoping to join you guys yesterday and say what's up.
Why didn't you join us?
Well,
good question.
Because you didn't have everything set up on time.
And sometimes tyrants kick you out of your ideas.
Tyrants?
Yeah.
Well, just jump on. Why ask if you don't want to? Like, you take a day. Take a day.
I didn't take the day. I was doing another show.
You
I
took
couldn't
a
be
day.
In both places.
Jason, did he take a day?
I still did the show rundown in the morning yesterday.
It's a good counterpoint. But you
he
took
did
a
not
day.
Take the day. He did
oh,
not
he
take
didn't
the day.
Take
thank
a day.
You, Jason.
He, that said, we wanted Hunter to have the opportunity to do Whoa Hunter, and then
that
I don't think it went all that well. So in retrospect,
it's been a tough month. Brewers have been killing it. The Woe Nelly contingent. It doesn't matter who's doing it. Tough month of August.
Riley's
so far.
Been by far the best.
Is he in the office today? Does he want to jump in?
I can go check.
Well, otherwise, Jesse Nelson will do Woe Nelly next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Jordan Love looking very sharp in 7-on-7. Even though Matt LaFleur would tell us it's not real football, including a long touchdown pass to Romeo Doubs, who has resumed practicing, started practicing again yesterday, and he's had a really good camp. Be curious to see what kind of season he has now that he's back in the mix after a few days out. By the way, speaking of back in the mix, Kenny Clark and Lucas Van Ness, after those apparently uncomfortable beds in suburban Indianapolis, are both practicing. So that's a good sign for them. Speaking of good signs, it's time now for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. They're going to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
I have two really good topics, and then I'm going to close with an invitation.
Two really good topics.
Yep. Feel really good about Woe Nelly today. All right. First up, I want to tell you about Becca's friend, Heather. Tier one friend.
Heather Fasano?
No. Tier one friend to Becca, and I, you know, our lives have crossed enough now. She's a tier one friend to me as well. She's helped us a lot when we've moved into our house, when we've gotten our dog. She's been a great dog. She's done a lot for us, and you know, she's probably the friend we see the most of our entire group.
Okay.
She is moving from an apartment into a new condo this Saturday. I have been called into work duty on Saturday, so I am unavailable to help with the move.
You finish that Alvarez show?
We're going to finish the Barry Alvarez show down at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford, actually. We're going to do a Barry. Barry is not coming.
Is Chris Rock going to be there?
No, he's not. No, Pablo will, though. Pablo, birthday bash. We're going to do our special ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day preseason special Saturday.
You going to maybe do some preseason polls?
I think we will.
Oh, somebody that doesn't like preseason polls are doing some preseason.
We'll take a look at them.
Is that in place of Saturday Scramble?
It is this week, yes.
So I guess I'm not needed on Saturday? Is that what you're telling me?
Unless you'd like to talk Badgers. Would you like to talk Badgers with us?
I'll opt out.
Okay.
Heather.
So I am, unavailable to help Heather move on Saturday. Friday, I am going out of town.
Dubuque?
No, I'm going golfing on Friday. I'm off on Friday, by the way, just so you guys know.
I thought you were coming to the Pickler, Menominee Falls, big opening.
I'm off on Friday.
There's no free food there? Or?
No, there is. That's the ironic part.
Conflict, two conflicts going on there. So
you're going out of town. So you're golfing for work.
like networking, or is this just
sure? Fun? Yes.
Okay.
Thursday evening, I'm calling our first high school football game of the year on ESPN. The point I'm rattling all this, we have our fantasy draft tomorrow night. Tonight is the only night if I'm going to help Heather move.
You know what's fun? I can see Hunter. And Hunter's making eye contact with me when he knows that you're saying ridiculous things.
So tonight is the only night that
That's what he thought.
I don't know what's going on. Jason's on there.
Yeah, he's getting yelled at.
Tonight is the only night that I can actually help Heather move.
Okay.
So I feel like I've made more of an inconvenience by saying, hey, can you do anything on Tuesday?
I told Rob, I said,
what is this?
I don't know. It's fun, though.
Yeah, I told Rob. Robin boy.
So what's your point? So you're making it inconvenient for Heather.
Yeah. At what point do you stop trying to make it work? And do you just say,
exactly,
I'm sorry?
I mean, what exactly do you think you're doing tonight?
I don't know. I said, can I help you Tuesday night? And she said, yes.
Okay, so what is she going to have
to
do?
I don't know. There's no plans at this point.
You're not inconveniencing her. Maybe you can go and box up books and take the books over to the new condo.
But this went from, I'm going to help you move on Saturday to I'm going to help you maybe a little bit on Tuesday night.
Yeah, but I think it's nice of you to do that. I think it's very nice. So, no, I don't think it's an inconvenience. She'd say, oh, don't worry about it. And actually, that's what you were hoping for. And the fact she called your bluff is what I really appreciate about Heather. Now, will Becca join you, or is it just you and Heather?
Yeah, Becca's going to help, too. Yeah, so she's
will Becca help on Saturday
for
also?
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, then you guys are killing it. Kudos to you. Okay. Kudos to the Nelsons.
Good.
Whoa, Nelly!
Jason, you back with us? What was going on there?
Do I need, like, one of those on-the-air signs, like a hat that lights up?
Yeah, we talk about this every year, yeah.
No, you get the hat.
I'm happy to know that we've got Wildy and Tausch fans that are, and also fans of the little television show that we do.
Sounds
so,
like Rob Domofsky, big fan.
He is a, I don't know if he, the gentleman that was chatting me up, and I couldn't even, I'm in an awkward spot. I couldn't even get to my phone to mute myself, so it was less than ideal.
Oh, trust me, we heard. Yeah, we knew. You didn't have
to
tell us.
Figured the producer might pod me down.
I checked in on you three different times. He was still going.
Yeah, he's very chatty. He's here with his grandson. So, hey.
That's fun.
It's great, great to see the generations enjoying the Packers practice. Yes.
Whoa, I need a hat. Nelly!
It lights up when I'm on the air, just like the sign outside, like the studio. That's what I need. Jesse, why don't you see if those gigantic hat company, if they do that, but that you can have like an electronic, like on the air thing that lights up.
Oh, I'm sure we have.
Yeah, I'm sure you want to give Jesse some. You want to get a hat from Jesse where he wires some electrical stuff by your brain. That's exactly what you're looking
for. Whoa, Nelly!
I'd also like him to pack up some books for me.
The Oklahoma Sooners are offering fans a chance to purchase tickets to attend post-game news conferences.
Yeah.
Sooner Magic Memories offers fans the opportunity to buy their way in to the coaches' post-game press conferences, including for the small price of $692 following the Oklahoma-Michigan game in week two of the college football season.
Do they get to ask a question?
No.
Then it's not worth it.
They are get exclusive post-game media access for you and one guest and see where real-time reactions unfold.
No.
Hear Oklahoma coaches and players address reporters moments after the final whistle. Watch the story take shape through the questions, the insights, and the atmosphere that set the headlines.
Now, if you get to ask questions, it's worth it. And that's the part that really irritates me. You had that opportunity, and you didn't do it. And you didn't even have to pay $692. You were there. But no, I would
and
not.
And you introduced yourself to the manager.
This was supposed to be about Jason, not about me.
Well, it's about you. I don't think, no. Not for me. Maybe some people would get a kick out of it. I'm out.
But you're in the media.
Sort of. I'm media Jason.
He's an analyst.
I'm an analyst. I don't know how many times I have to go over this with you.
Well, we're paying you. You don't have to pay to go to a press conference if you want to go.
Look, I don't really like the idea of
bringing in a live studio audience for press conferences, but as long as they draw the line on cheering, clapping, and not asking questions, it's fine. I understand the world we live in. I'm amazed at how many people enjoy watching the press conferences that aren't from like a media background. They, you know, when the Packers post all their live press conferences on YouTube or on social media, they get a lot of people watching. So I'm amazed by that personally.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's made you more popular.
Or unpopular, depending on your perspective.
Yeah, in the media, you're a mover. And I would bet if you polled Packer fans, there's only one beat dude that gets to ask LaFleur one question, you would win in a landslide. Am I wrong?
And usually after we've said no more questions.
Nice.
I will say this.
Man, you're such a good coach. I just don't think... It just doesn't make any sense that happened.
You're going to get Micah Parsons.
Oh. Fun.
Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
Tausch, rumor has it Jason is off tomorrow's show.
That's what I heard.
Would you like to do the show at my house tomorrow?
How could I nicely say absolutely not? Why would we do it at your house?
Well, because I don't want to make you come all the way to the studio. I never get to do the show at my house like you guys.
Do we have the equipment
really
there?
Good point.
We could bring one home. I could bring one home tonight, and we could do it at my house tomorrow.
I love this idea.
You could bring dunkers.
It's
I'll
not
make some
the
coffee.
Worst idea you've had.
Who's
I'm
producing?
I am open
Hunter
to
tomorrow.
That conversation. So we would do it remotely at your house.
Yeah, we'll do it
with the iPad.
Yep.
Do it like out on your porch.
We could do it in the basement. We could do it in the porch. We could move around.
This sounds
like
you're
going to be in charge of the video.
This sounds like it could be a disaster, and I think we're going to do it. Yes, I am signing up. Let's do it.
This is the best idea you've had in a while.
That's why, Hunter, did you run this by Hunter? Because
Nope. As
I came into the Everlight Solar Studio today, he's like, oh, you know, Jesse's doing tomorrow. Are you coming in tomorrow? I said, yeah, I probably can come in tomorrow. And he preemptively is trying to, because I could see him shaking his head like, this is going to be a blank and blank show tomorrow. And he's right. And that makes me think we're going to do it.
All right.
That's it for Wonelli, and that's it for special teams portion of practice. More to wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
He's got a Chevrolet that don't
All right, we're out of time, but two quick things before we go. First of all, Kalen King getting extensive run as the third corner or as the slot guy in the nickel. So maybe the former seventh round pick is making a move here into the mix at corner. And then Rashid Walker is back at left tackle in 11 on 11. That's the good news.
Mm.
The bad news is that Aaron Banks isn't practicing. So Jordan Morgan is at left guard. So Ooh. Still not able to get a real true competition. The other piece of good news, a touchdown pass from Malik Willis, a deep ball, but I cannot see who the recipient was.
I think it was Dobbs.
No, I don't think it was. I think it was Matthew Golden,
based on the reaction.
All right, that's it for us today. Jesse and Tausch will be at Jesse's house tomorrow. Thanks for coming along. We'll see.
I'm losing faith.
Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.